Dawson Springs. I don't think we could say he's a stranger here, but we're sure happy to have him again.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. I do thank you for the invitation and for your making me feel welcome and for your friendship and your love. I'm going to attempt something tonight that I anticipate will be difficult to do. There are simple sermons to preach, and then there are more difficult concepts to get across. I'm going to have to walk a tightrope tonight, for I'm taking two wonderful things and trying to proclaim one greater than the other. Though at the time I do that, I don't want to diminish. Well, let me just tell you the title before I ramble on any further. I'd like to speak to you tonight a sermon that I would entitle Exclusivity in Christ, Yet Not in Christianity. Exclusivity in Christ, Yet Not in Christianity. What I'm trying to say with these introductory remarks is that I don't want to be derogatory against Christianity. Christ established Christianity. Christ established his church. He came and proclaimed the gospel. But none of those things that Christ established are on the same level with Christ himself. I declare to you that I want to try to teach you tonight an exclusivity in Christ, an exclusiveness in Christ that even eliminates Christianity. That's not taught very much in the Christian world today. Let us begin with a couple of texts. John chapter 14, in verse 5. Thomas saith unto him, to Jesus, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Hold on to Thomas's question. I'd like to get back to it if the Lord will bless us, but let's get the answer. Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's exclusiveness. That eliminates everybody else. You can't get there but by Jesus. Just to reestablish the point in Peter's words in Acts chapter 4 about verse 12, we find, neither is there salvation in any other. There's not salvation in anybody else. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No way to come to the Father but by Jesus. No other name given among men whereby you might be saved. There's one man, one name, one way, Jesus Christ. Nobody will ever end up in heaven or ever has ended up in heaven through the name Muhammad. Nobody ever will end up in heaven through the name Buddha. There's not a totem pole or a sacred cow ever put anybody in heaven. The only name, the only way, the only man, the exclusive way to get to heaven is none other, no addition to, Jesus Christ. No other name, no other man, no other way. I say that the exclusiveness of Jesus Christ to get you to heaven not only eliminates every other man and every other name, but every other thing. I declare to you that Christianity is not a necessity to get somebody to heaven. I believe there'll be people in heaven who never were Christian on the earth. I believe there'll be Muslims in heaven. But I don't believe Muhammad will put one of them in there. I think Jesus Christ, there's one way, one name, Jesus Christ. Anybody that gets there, and everybody that gets there by the same way and by the same name, Jesus Christ. But everybody that gets there, I don't believe goes through the route of Christianity. Let us begin early on to walk the tightrope and try to keep a balance here. And is Christianity important? Tremendously important. Does Christianity matter? It matters very much. Is it okay just to be a Muslim or a Hindu or whoever? No, you need to be Christian. God forbid that you be anything else. God forbid that I say anything against Christianity, but God forbid that I put Christianity as the means Christ has to use to get people to heaven. It doesn't do that, though it does a lot of things. It doesn't do that. We want to try to find a balance and keep a balance tonight. I don't want you to leave here thinking tonight that Brother Jeff came down here and he said it doesn't matter whether we're Christian or not. He said Christianity doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter who you are or what you are. Just go on and you're going to get to heaven anyway. And don't think that way. I don't want to teach that way. I don't want to put that in your mind. I just want to put Christ way up there at the top and everything else and everybody else down here somewhere beneath him, where he doesn't have to use anybody or nobody else can get anybody up there, and he doesn't need anything else to get anybody up there. He can do it all by himself. He's the sole way, that is the only way, and he's the whole way, the complete way. Nobody else can do it, and he doesn't need anybody else or anybody else, anything else to do it. Exclusiveness in Christ, yet not in Christianity. Let's go back to the first text that we read. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Now, I guess Thomas didn't know the way. You reckon? If he'd known the way, he wouldn't ask the way, would he? Makes sense to me. Why didn't Thomas know the way? Jesus had taught that he was the way all the way along. Thomas had been listening. But you know, sometimes we don't hardly listen like we should to the preacher, even when it's Jesus preaching. And some way or another, Thomas had gotten this far, being with Jesus this long, and he wasn't sure how to get to heaven. He didn't know the way. The Lord said, I'm leaving, and where are you going? We don't know the way. How can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way. I want you to pay particular attention to something Jesus didn't say. Well, there's a lot of stuff he didn't say, but this is one thing he didn't say. He didn't say, Thomas, you knowing I'm the way is the way. Now, did he? He just said, I am the way. Now, Thomas didn't know the way, and Thomas probably sensed the need to know the way. I mean, if there's a way up there, I want to know it, Lord. I don't want to miss the boat. If there's something I need to be doing, I want to be doing it. So you show me the way, Lord. Tell me the way. I want to know the way. I don't know the way. Tell me, Lord, what the way is. And Jesus didn't say anything about Thomas having to know the way for Jesus to be the way, did he? Right. Now then, let's backtrack here a little bit in the story of Thomas and the story of Jesus and then the gospel message here. And we go back to John chapter 11. And Thomas is the one that spoke up in John 11. Now, John 11 is before John 14, you know. But before John 14 and John 11, chapter 11, Thomas says, well, okay, if you're going to go back there towards Jerusalem, we'll just go with you and we'll die with you. And I think Thomas really thought there was a pretty good chance that might happen. And there was a pretty good chance that would happen. Now, Thomas in chapter 11 was willing to die with Jesus. I kind of think that that's a pretty good evidence. I sort of believe that any man, woman, child in this world who's willing to die with Jesus is probably going to live with Jesus forever in heaven. You reckon? So I'm going to find evidence in God's word that in John 11, I think Thomas was in John 11. What do you think? I believe he was. But apparently Thomas didn't know the way in John 11, did he? In John 14, he asked the way. How can I know the way? And then Jesus told him the way. Now Thomas ought to have had a sense of relief at that point. And we ought to have a sense of relief at this. The more we understand and know that Jesus is the way, the more peace we're going to have about this whole situation of eternal salvation. If Jesus is the way, the sole way, the whole way, the complete way, and the only way, and he does it all, well, that just sort of takes a load off Thomas and me, doesn't it? Where we don't have to worry about how much we know about him being the way, or how much we contribute to him being the way. If he's just the way without Thomas and me, when we come to know that, that's not what puts us into heaven, but that puts us into a state of peace of mind about going to heaven. And that's what the gospel is supposed to do, is to guide our feet to the way of peace. The gospel is to give enlightenment that Jesus is the way. And once you know Jesus is the way, that's not what punches your ticket and gets you to glory. That's what lets you wipe the sweat off your brow and say, phew, man, I like that plan. I like the idea that you're just going to get me there, whether I know it or not. I believe Jesus has been in the business of getting people to heaven ever since there's been people dying and needing to go to heaven. You reckon? I believe Jesus used the same plan to get folks back in Adam and Eve and Abel's generation to heaven that he does to get you and me to heaven. You reckon? Well, I think that's what we've kind of got to that point. Jesus said, I am the way. Now, that way is good, whether it's B.C. or A.D., before the time of Christ or after the time of Christ. That plan's good whether you're an infant or an ancient. And I didn't look at anybody when I said somebody was an ancient. But there's some folks that are ancients compared to infants. But the same Jesus is the way, isn't he? He's the only way. And he gets them there the same way. He's the way. Whether you're a Bible scholar or whether you don't have enough mental capacity to understand and accept Jesus. How many ways? One way. Reckon Jesus has got to have an alternative? No. If he's just the way, the only way, the sole way, and the whole way, then we don't need anything else, do we? He didn't need anything else, and he doesn't use anything else, and he doesn't have to have anything else. There's one way, and that's Jesus. There's no other way. No man can get to the Father but Jesus, and he can get everyone to the Father he means to get to the Father without anything else to help him. That doesn't mean Christianity's not important, but he doesn't even need Christianity to get anybody to heaven. I believe he got a lot of folks to heaven before Christianity ever got a good start. You know what I believe Christianity is? Well, I'll tell you first what I don't think it is. I don't think Christianity was a new salvation that Jesus introduced. We've had the same salvation since day one of the creation, and his name is Jesus. But a lot of folks back in the good old days, in the B.C. days, before the time of Jesus, I bet they didn't know his name. What do you think? I can't find in the Old Testament where his name's in there. I find in the New Testament where Gabriel told Joseph, said, thou shalt call his name Jesus. And then Peter said, there's no other name to get you there but Jesus, but I'll bet you Enoch didn't know his name. I don't know that for sure. He could have known his name, and we just didn't have that put down in the Bible, and that's a possibility. But I got a feeling that Enoch didn't know his name until he got there. But I'm pretty sure Enoch is there, because the Bible says he's there. Well, how'd Enoch get there? One name, remember? How did Enoch get there? Jesus. Jesus got him there. Well, we know Enoch got there because he's just walking around down here one day, and then God took him, and he was not down here anymore, and he was up there. So Enoch's in heaven. And he got there not through Christianity. Now, Christianity's a good thing, and we're a whole lot more blessed than Enoch in that we've got Christianity. And whatever we know will bless us a whole lot more than those that didn't know anything back in the, or didn't know very much back in those days. They kind of maybe knew him, but they didn't know his name. They kind of maybe had a nature that he had put in there that was him, but they kind of wondered what that really was. You see, we're at a great advantage in the Christianity, the realm of the age of Christianity in which we live. We know his name, and we know his plan, and we know the history, and we know the story of him hanging on that cross, and we know what that cross accomplished, and we just got a lot of advantage in Christianity now, don't we? That they didn't have back then, and that the Muslims don't have now, and the Hindus don't have now. And I don't mean to be derogatory. We may have people here who have family members in those places. And I don't mean that I'm better than them. I just mean that it's quite a blessing to know he's the way. And to really know he's the way to the point where you quit worrying about the way. Just trusting him to be the way. And that's a great advantage in this world as far as peace of mind. And a heart that's settled instead of in turmoil. And the more you know he's the way, the better off you are, remember. If you think that you've got to do something, that's a loophole that you've added. If you just figure he did it all, well, he did it all. But if you figure you got to do something, you know what you're always going to be wondering? Whether you did it good enough. Whether your faith was faith enough, or your works were works enough, or your acceptance was acceptance enough, or whether you got caught up in the emotion of the moment and came down the aisle. And if that's, I don't know for sure once I got home, whether I was afraid of fire or in love with Jesus. You know, sometimes you can get home. And I've had people come to me with those questions. That years later, they're wondering. And they went back to a revival, and there was an evangelist came through, and he said, "Now, you better be sure you did it right." So they go down and do it again. But then they wonder if they did it right that time. And as long as you think you've got to do something, as simple as it might be, you always wonder if you did it sincere enough or right enough to please God. I want to tell you, Jesus pleased God, and he's the way. And God looked at the work of Jesus, and God got satisfied when Jesus said, "It's finished." God was satisfied, and God justified everyone Jesus died for. And we're in like Flynn, folks. That's not King James, but that's old country term. It kind of tells us how it is. We're in, and there's nothing can stop it. There's nothing can stop him. His name is Jesus, and he's God, and he's the way. Well, now we've got Enoch, and we're pretty sure he got up there, and we kind of wondered how he got up there, and then we decided, well, he must have got, if Jesus said he's the way and he's the only way, well, he must have got there through Jesus, though he probably didn't know much about Jesus till he got there. Now, he knows a whole lot more about Jesus now than I do. He's been up there with him for a few thousand years. My goodness gracious, isn't he in a wonderful place up there? But we're in a wonderful place right here when we know we're going up there because he's the way. You see, Christianity puts us in a good place, but it doesn't put us in heaven. It puts us in a state of mind where we know we're going to heaven thanks to Jesus. And we praise him for it. We meet together on a Friday night to praise him. And we don't share his glory with anybody. We don't even share his glory with his Christianity. We make a distinguishing mark. There's a distinction there. Thomas didn't have to know Jesus was the way in order for Jesus to be the way. Enoch didn't have to know Jesus was the way for Enoch to get there. God just took him up there. That's the way it works with everybody. God just takes you up there. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Well, that's the simplicity of the gospel. God just takes you up there. And Jesus is the way. Well, we come on down, and I'm looking for folks in the Old Testament that I know are up there. Now, I figure there's a lot of them up there. But I know Abraham and Isaac and Jacob are up there. How do I know they're up there? Because Jesus said they were. You know, those Sadducees, they come up to Jesus, say, "We don't believe in spirits, and we don't believe in angels, and we probably don't much believe in heaven, and we don't believe in a resurrection for sure, and we don't believe anybody's heaven." Jesus said, "Well, you got that wrong." Said Abraham and Isaac and Jacob are up there. You go read the story of Moses and see where God said they were already up there, and they're living with God right now. They're in heaven. How'd they get there? Well, they were Jews. And God had a different plan in the Old Testament to get the Jews there than he does. I thank y'all for shaking your head. Man, I got off track there, didn't I? Shame on me. I hope you know I was, well, I shouldn't be a smart aleck, should I? But that's what I was kind of being there. God forgive me. But there's not another plan for the Jews. There doesn't have to be another plan. I've heard people say that the Jews can't get there because they don't ever accept Jesus, and they don't believe he's God, and they don't acknowledge him to be the Son of God, and they don't know the way. They don't have to know the way for Jesus to get them there. Jesus got Abraham and Isaac and Jacob there, and I don't know what they knew and what they didn't know, but I got a feeling that none of those precious men knew as much as you know right here, as goofy as we are, and as low as we are compared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're better off than they were with what we know. But Jesus got them there the same way he got Enoch there. Now, Enoch wasn't a Jew. Enoch came along before the Jews ever started. So it's not a Jew plan and a new Gentile plan. It's not an Old Testament plan and then a Christianity plan. What's the plan? Jesus. He's the plan. Whoever you are, wherever you are, everybody gets there, same plan, same man, Jesus Christ. So now we know they're up there. Let's look at a couple of more. We know that Moses and Elijah are up there. How do we know they're up there? Well, on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17, Moses and Elijah come down to Jesus in glory. I reckon that glory is heaven's glory, you reckon? They came down to commune with Jesus about his approaching death, and they came in glory. Well, they got there because Moses and Elijah, they got there because they's Moses and Elijah, you know. No, they didn't. Moses and Elijah needed the same Savior that you and me need. And the same Savior that gets you and me there, put them up there. I got a feeling that little infant boy of David's was in heaven. Now, David said, after he'd fasted and after he'd prayed and after he'd wept and after he'd begged God and didn't eat, and then the child died anyway. And David gets up and makes a grand statement that's so comforting to me. Part of it's not comforting. The child can't come back to me, David said. That's the hard part. That's the sad part. And that's the child we yearn to hold, but the child can't come back to us. But the flip side of that coin, the good side, I can go to him. Now, David was a man after God's own heart, and I got a feeling David made it. But David didn't make it because he was a man after God's own heart. The reason David was after God's own heart, because God put a heart in David, like God's heart. God does that part too. But that's a different story than tonight's story. David's in heaven with that baby. How'd that baby get there? Now, thank you. Y'all got it. I just got to keep going with the stories, though. Because the reason I brought the baby in, because that's the classic where you hear the exception. If you got to know Jesus is the way before you get there, then babies don't have a chance of knowing Jesus is the way, do they? So God excuses babies and just lets them on in because they're innocent. Well, the first part's not right. God doesn't excuse the babies. And the second part's not right. They're not innocent. But I'm not preaching babies in hell. I'm preaching, though, what the Bible preaches, what the Bible teaches, I hope. That baby is born into this world with the same nature that I was born into this world as a babe. And that nature is the inherited sin of Adam. And when Adam sinned, sin entered into the world and death by sin, and death passed upon all men. And that's why babies die, because they've got sin in them. As hard as that sounds, I don't mean it to sound hard. But don't you reckon that if the blood of Jesus and if Jesus is the way to get a hard-nosed sinner like me up there with all I've done wrong, don't you reckon that baby would be a piece of cake? It's not a piece of cake. It took the same blood. Amen. And that's almost derogatory to say that about Jesus. None of us were a piece of cake. It was his blood and suffering and death that put me in. And that same blood, suffering, and death had to be poured out for that baby too. That baby got to heaven, not on plan B, not on innocent plan, the one plan. We don't need another plan, do we? If Jesus is the way, then that's good enough for the baby too. Surely if he can get that thief on the cross, that baby can get there with the same blood. All right, let's look at maybe one more here. My Bible tells me that there's people in heaven from every nation, kindred, tribe, I think it says family in one place, tongue under heaven. I submit to you a problem. That's not a problem, but it might seem like a problem. If Thomas had to know Jesus was the way before Jesus could be the way, then there's nations in this world who never knew the name of Jesus who are no longer nations because some way they got wiped out. There's the Incas and the Mayans, and there's families that have lived and still live in this world who don't know the name of Jesus or the story of Jesus. I've seen estimates at best Christianity's reached a 30% of the world's population. That leaves 70 burning in hell if we've got to get to them with Christianity. Praise God, we don't, but we should. It's no excuse not to. We need to get them the message. It's our job. But we don't have to get them the message to get them to heaven. Jesus is the way. Every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue under heaven, families, nations, whole nations, extinct, no longer exist, and somebody from those places, if every nation's represented up there, somebody made it. And some would say, well, I know some who are hard-nosed enough not to even say this, that if we don't get to them, there's no way. Well, that doesn't stack up scripturally or reasonably, but maybe we'll get to that in here in a second. If we don't get to them, then they're not going to get there. So God makes an exception. And God's got another plan. You know, he's a God of mercy. And surely he's not unfair. And if they never had a chance to hear the gospel, then God's going to let them in through the route not of innocence, but of ignorance. And they couldn't help it that nobody ever found them. So God's going to have plan 37 there, or whatever it is, to help those folks get in, because it wouldn't be fair. And then God tells me, I say it's not scriptural, and it doesn't fit reasoning or scripture. And then God tells me to take this gospel to the uttermost parts of the world and proclaim it to all nations. And well, if they're under plan 37, that they get in if I don't go, all of them, through their ignorance, and I go, I'm inspired, feel a burden and a moving of God to go and preach the gospel somewhere on some place where I don't think they've heard the gospel of the salvation by grace with Jesus Christ. And I go there and half of them come pat me on the back, and we go to the water and we baptize, and the other half says, "You old fool, why don't you go back to America?" Well, you know what I've done by going? Now, if they's all going to heaven anyway on plan 37, the ignorance plan, and I go over there and enlighten them, I've condemned that half that didn't accept it to hell, haven't I? That's not good news. That's the bad news. That's not delivering them from anything, which the gospel doesn't deliver you from hell, but it delivers you from that sweat you have when you're wondering if you're going to make it to heaven. When you can come and tell them Jesus is the way and they say amen to that, you've just taken a load off their minds, but you didn't put a one of them in heaven. On and on, the possibilities of the plans can go, and the point of all that, whether it's the babies or the ones in the remote island, you had a better chance of knowing about Jesus, you know. I grew up, and probably a lot of you all grew up in a Christian family with a Christian mama that drug you to church, and you heard a Christian message and you knew the story of Jesus. Why, who else were you going to follow? But there's a lot of children that have grown up in this world throughout history and still in the world today who got drugged to another place and heard another message about another feller. Who are they going to follow? We all don't have the same chance of knowing Jesus, but that doesn't eliminate your chances from getting to heaven if Jesus is the way. This sermon, as with a lot of my sermons, let me tell you the story behind it. There's a story behind a lot of my sermons. I never realized the urgency of drawing a distinction between Christ and his Christianity. Just a few days ago, a friend wanted me to listen to a boxed set of sermons, 10 sermons. And I don't remember the exact title, But the title implied, and the gist of the title was that Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the exclusive way. Jesus who gets you there. I thought, that's got potential. And I start listening to him. And this is a renowned, big time, worldwide known evangelist. I'm not going to tell you his name, and I'm not going to tell you what group he's with. Well, I will tell you it's the predominant group across the Bible Belt. It reminded me when I listened to him, and the further I got into him, and I listened to all 10 of them. And he's a good speaker. Convincing. Arguments sound good. They just don't fit the scriptures. I wrote down a thing or two. I know I'm supposed to preach the word. Forgive me for reading something besides God's word. The man claimed to be preaching the exclusiveness of Jesus, but what he was preaching was not that Jesus is the way. You've got to believe Jesus is the way for Jesus to be the way. Adding something to what Jesus said, Thomas said, how can I know the way? And Jesus said, I'm the way. Again, Jesus didn't say anything about you having to know I'm the way, Thomas, for me to be the way. I'm the way, whether you know it or not. I'm the way, whether you believe it or not. What if some believe not? Let's stick with the Bible just a little bit longer. Romans 3:3, what if some don't believe? What if you don't find everybody and get them the story? What if they're a baby and they can't believe? What if they don't even know what story they heard? There's so many stories floating around. You may have heard the story and it's so far off it's not even really the story. What if some don't believe the story of Jesus Christ? I don't know how close you got to get, but that's something that leaves you dangling, doesn't it? When you're thinking you got to do something. Well, I don't even know if that was the whole story, the right story. I don't know which story to believe. There's so many stories out here. But the Bible in Romans 3:3 says, let me read it. I want to get it right. And I want you to know I'm going to the Bible. That's why I'm doing this more than anything. I think I can quote it, but I want to read it. For what if some did not believe? What if somebody doesn't believe? The answer in God's word is another question with an answer. Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Romans 3:3. Can we unbelieve the reality of what Jesus did? Now, what Jesus did, he did. That makes little sense to me. I'm not very smart, but that makes sense. What somebody did, they did. Whether anybody believes it or not. And God knows what Jesus did on that cross, whether I ever know it or not. And what Jesus did on that cross, according to God's word, is pay for every sin of every one of his children forever and obtained eternal redemption for every one of them. And that Jesus made them accepted to the Father. And Jesus washed away all their sins, and there's none left. And Jesus gave each one of them his righteousness. And God declared, when God saw it was finished, God was satisfied, and God declared them to be righteous and innocent. And that is justification, whether you know it or not. God did that. Jesus did that on the cross, and God did that in his courtroom, whether you ever know it or not. You can't unbelieve truth and make it not truth anymore. What's truth is truth, whether you believe it or not. What God knows, whether I ever know it or not. And what if I don't believe? Can me not believing make what God knows to be true untrue? Or undo what Jesus did and what God knows he did? The answer here, we come on down and says, God forbid. Shall their unbelief make the faith of God, the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, the accomplishments on that cross, God looking at Jesus and putting his confidence in Jesus, and God securing our salvation on that cross, Jesus Christ, and God announcing that salvation on that cross in heaven in his courtroom? If I don't ever believe that, if nobody ever believes that, that doesn't undo a bit of it. It's still so, whether you know it or not. If what if we don't believe? Can that undo anything? Look at one more with me. I'm going to go and read this in 2 Timothy 2 and 13. I'm going to read these because I want you to know it's in the Bible. And I'm saying where it is so you can look it up if you'd like to and see if it's not so. Now, this other guy I listened to those 10 sermons. My goodness gracious, he had Adam and Eve making a choice whether they took those skins in the garden or not. There's one verse in there. It doesn't have any. He said they could have rejected it and they could have took it. The choice is yours. I said, my, my, my. Why did I get off on that? I'm supposed to be on 2 Timothy chapter 2, wasn't I? Verse 13. That's where I'm supposed to be. 2 Timothy 2 and 13, if we believe not, if you're too hard-headed, or if you're too slow to know, that's a smart aleck way of saying it, wasn't it? Sometimes I'm too slow to know things. My brain just doesn't work that good. And if your brain just doesn't work that good enough to know it and understand it, that's really not going to jeopardize eternal life. It'll jeopardize your peace and your comfort and your assurance in this life. Let's read the verse. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Good job. You know the verse, sister. He can't look at what Jesus did. Jesus is God. When God looks at Jesus, he's looking at himself, and he can't deny what he did on that cross. It's done. It's finished. And me not believing it doesn't unfinish what's finished. And me not knowing it doesn't make God not know it anymore. What if some believe not? It's not going to change a thing. What if we don't believe? God can't deny himself. The plan is the man, Jesus Christ, and the man, Jesus Christ, finished the plan. Amen. And that's done. Now, Christianity is wonderfully important, and if we can spread the news that that's done, we're going to make a lot of folks happy. When they figure out that God's done it all and he can't deny himself and you're in like Flynn, then that's a good feeling to have in this world. But that's not what that feeling's not what gets you in the next world. Jesus gets you to the next world. He's the way. Back to our character we're talking about, the preacher that I'm not going to tell you his name. Keep you wondering. I like secrets. I'm not trying to keep a secret from you. I'm trying to be nice, though I'm not very nice-natured sometimes. And some things I come across as being pretty smart-aleck about, and I don't want to do that, and I already have tonight. God forgive me. And I don't mean to offend anybody here. I'm trying to lift up Jesus. That's my purpose, I hope, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, is to tell you the good news of what Jesus has done, lift him up above everything, even his Christianity. Christianity is not a new salvation. It's a revelation that has come in our age that we're blessed with. And I'm thankful for the revelation he's given us through the New Testament theology that gives us the understanding that we can know what Jesus has done and know he's the way. But that doesn't make him the way. Back to our fellow. This guy, I'd run the CD and stop it and write, and run the CD and stop it and write. And I tried to get it down where I'm giving you quotes, and not trying to add to or take away. I took some away because I didn't give you the whole 10 sermons here tonight that he preached. But I took excerpts from that. He was talking about an interview that Larry King had with Joel Osteen. Now, I'm not a Larry King fan, and I'm not a Joel Osteen fan, and I'm not a fan of this guy that preached this, and most of all, lots of days, I'm not a fan of myself, but here was where he quotes King. King said, "Well, what if you are Jewish or Muslim and you don't accept Christ at all?" Osteen, "Well, you know, I'm very careful about saying who would and who wouldn't go to heaven. I don't know." I like Osteen's answer. Now, this preacher beat him up and down the road over that answer. I think the man's nailed it. We need to be careful when we start labeling people whether they're going to get to heaven or not. Why, nobody to give that thief a chance would. Even his mama probably didn't think he was going to go. And mamas always see the good side, but that old boy didn't have a good side, didn't look like, till Jesus put a good heart in him. And he's up there in paradise with Jesus since that day Jesus said that to him. So be careful. I don't know who's going to heaven. That's what Osteen said. I think that's a good answer. King, I'm trying to follow this interview now. Well, if you believe, you have to believe in Jesus. If you believe, you have to believe in Jesus. They're wrong, followers of other religions. Osteen. Well, I don't know if I believe they are wrong. I believe this is what the Bible teaches. And from the Christian faith, this is what I believe. But I believe that God will judge a person's heart. Now, I'll add right there, Osteen didn't say this part, but I believe God puts a good heart in people. He knows it's good. He doesn't have to judge it because he put it in there. But I do believe God judges a heart. He sees an old hard heart and he puts a good one in there. He circumcises the heart. There's a lot of things about the heart that God does for a carnal natured sinner and turns them into a spiritual natured believer. Back to the quote. I believe that God will judge a person's heart. I spent a lot of time in India with my father. I don't know all about their religion, but I know they love God. I know they love God, and I don't know. I've seen their sincerity, so I just don't know. I know for me and what the Bible teaches, I want to have a relationship with Jesus. I wish I could talk to Osteen and get him in a good mood to listen. Not that I'm that smart, but I think I could ease his mind a little bit. You know, his theology doesn't fit his observation, and that puts you in a state of confusion. Now, he's been to India, apparently, from what he said. I don't know anything about the man. But he said he'd been to India with his father, and he had seen people over there, and he was seemed like mighty sure they loved God. But I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know. I want to serve Jesus, but I just don't know. Bless his heart. My mom is probably dying of cancer. Now, I hope she's not. We're praying she doesn't. But the doctors say she probably is, so that's the best evidence we've got from medical folks around these parts. But the great physician hadn't told me that. But my mom has got a doctor, a cancer doctor, and he's obviously not Christian. He's got the markings on his skin to show who he stands with. But he's a man that comes in and talks to my mama with such kindness and compassion and tenderness and care. I know. He's got a love in his heart for helpless, hopeless people. But I got a feeling he's not Christian. My theology, not my theology, the Bible's theology, is no problem for that man to get to heaven, though he's not worshiping Jesus in this world. Should he be? Indeed, he should be. Is it okay? It's not okay. Everybody ought to serve Jesus. He is God. But if you grow up in a nation and in a family and in a place where you're so influenced that you hadn't turned loose of what you grew up with yet. He may yet. I preached a funeral for a guy I went through school with. My age. Good buddy. But not a churchy guy. Matter of fact, pretty crusty fella. He had pancreatic cancer. Lasted about 3 weeks from the time he went in the hospital. Everybody loved Doug. He was a lovable kind of guy, though he's crusty. He wasn't a hypocrite like some of us are, but he kind of called him like you see him some days, and there was lots of things about him should have been changed, but there are with me too. And I had the privilege of preaching his funeral. Well, now, there were other friends who were very concerned with Doug. And there was a conscientious woman that spent much time by his deathbed begging him to say the words. And he finally said the words. And the town rejoiced that Doug had accepted Jesus. Let me tell you what I knew about him. I had a little insight, you know, because my wife works in a place where they help feed poor children and help clothe poor children and help poor children. And this old boy, he's just a working man. He's not a rich man. But he gave regular, big donations that nobody knew about. I don't guess, but my wife and the other woman that worked in their office, and because I sat at the supper table and talked to my wife, I knew it. I didn't have a bit of trouble preaching Doug in heaven. I knew what he had been doing for years, giving away his money to feed kids and to help kids. He was crusty. But he had a love in his heart. That's the first mentioned fruit of the Spirit. Now, faith is in there, and it's number 7, and I don't know if they're ranked in order, but I'd been seeing a love and knowing about a love a long time before the expression of faith that seemed to be the magic moment for the rest of the community. I'm looking forward to seeing him again. The Bible's theology can put him in. And that Hindu doctor and lots of other people who don't seem too churchy as far as we'd say things. Back to our... I'm sorry, I'm going to get going. Well, I don't know if I believe they're wrong. I believe this is what the Bible teaches, and I believe they've seen them love God, and I just don't know. I just don't know. I've seen it, but I don't know. And here was the preacher in the series answer. I find it interesting that even a non-Christian like Larry King sees the inconsistency in saying that you believe Jesus is the way to salvation, but there may be other ways as well. Well, King did recognize an inconsistency in old Steve's theology, didn't he? It is inconsistent. If you observe people that you feel like God's in their heart and you feel like there's love there and there's evidence they're a child of God, but you can't get them that on your plan. I'm getting sidetracked again. A brother came to me. He's an exercising brother. And he'd been to a funeral, and it was the same kind of situation with Doug. He said, that poor preacher, he was preaching that funeral, and he was wanting him to be in heaven. He just couldn't figure out how to get him there. That's sad. I know it comes across and we laugh and you see evidence and you know a fellow like that ought to be there. You just didn't jump through the hoop that you've made, that you say he has to jump through. There's no hoops to jump through. There's no additions. Jesus is the way. And when you preach a funeral and that's your true theology and you're not having to make up something that you really don't believe, it's easy to preach good folks into heaven. You see they were good folks and you see evidence of it. And being a good folk comes from God. When Jesus puts himself in your heart and speaks his nature into you, and then you start seeing the fruit of that. And it's Jesus said, by the fruit you'll know them. And some of them have practiced love and some of them express faith, and some of them maybe don't. I find it interesting that even a non-Christian like Larry King sees the inconsistency in saying that you believe in Jesus, saying that you believe Jesus is the way to salvation, but there may be other ways as well. We're not saying that now. There's no other ways. But knowing Jesus is the way is not the way. Jesus is the way. You know, if the best answer a prominent evangelical mega church pastor can come up with when asked about other religions is, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, I just don't know, are we surprised that people in the pew don't have an answer to the question as well? Now, this guy preaching here in the 10 sermon series, he's got the answer. If you don't know he's the way, if you don't believe he's the way, then you don't get there. But Osteen's kind of hedging on that, isn't he? He's not sure if that's right every time. He kind of really deep down thinks he believes that, but really deep down he doesn't believe that, does he? He's got some Hindus he figures up there some way, and he can't figure out how they're there, but he sees a lot of evidence and he thinks that God's in their heart. Let me shut this down with one other paragraph from the 10 sermon series. There's a lot of ammo in these 10 sermons. I could keep you here for a while, but I just picked out a few. Just one or two, really. He first says, you may be saying, well, so what? I mean, as long as I believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven, what difference does it make if, in fact, there are other ways to heaven? Here's the difference it makes, according to this man now. Not that's just me. According to this man, here's the difference it makes. What you believe about this issue of exclusivity of Christ for salvation, what you believe about this issue determines whether you spend eternity in heaven or in hell. That's his theology. What you believe makes the difference as to whether you spend eternity. That's not what Jesus said, was it? The question is, are there many ways to get to heaven when you die? Or is there only one way to get to heaven? You're right. And who? What's his name?
Jesus.
And he doesn't need anything else or anybody else, does he? All right, now listen to this guy. Are there many ways to get to heaven when you die, or is there only one way to get to heaven? How do I go to heaven when I die? Well, that is what we are looking at in this series, the man says. And then he says 57% of Christians say there is more than one way to heaven other than faith in Jesus Christ. Now, what's his other statement up here that he's just said? What you believe about this makes the difference whether you spend eternity in heaven and in hell. And then he's stated a statistic that I don't know where he got it from, said 57% of Christians are confused about this. So I guess he just preached 57% of Christians into hell. Because what you believe is what makes the difference. That's his theology. It's not Bible now. But and then he says 57% aren't sure about it. So that's what, if what you believe makes the difference, and if they're not sure what they believe, then he goes on and talks about a friend of mine that I hadn't met yet. But he's my friend. He talks about C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis wrote Mere Christianity with all of its wisdom, told the story of Jesus Christ through Mere Christianity, and it's an intellectual giant. And he tells the same story of Jesus in The Adventures of Four Children in the Chronicles of Narnia. He is an intellectual. God gave the man a gift. The emotion that's expressed in the four loves, and then the silliness, but the wisdom in the Screwtape Letters. Well, I'm not supposed to be preaching about C.S. Lewis, but he's my buddy. This man, after saying 57% of Christians are unsure, even some renowned Christian theologians believe that. For example, even C.S. Lewis, whom we all read, believed that heaven will include people who have never heard of or trusted in faith in Jesus Christ. Who's he trusting in? He's not trusting in Jesus. He says right there he's trusting in faith in Jesus. My friends, don't trust in your trust, because your trust will let you down. You can't trust it. Don't put faith in your faith. Just go ahead and skip that part and put faith in Jesus and trust him. And leave out the part about trusting in faith in Jesus Christ. Even C.S. Lewis sometimes was confused about whether he was really trusting in faith in Jesus Christ. That's the theology that's being preached in America right now. That you don't trust in Jesus, you trust in your faith. That Jesus is not the way, you're the way. And what you do is the way, and if you can trust enough and have sufficient faith, then you're in. Otherwise, you can put a question mark on you. Lewis wrote, I think that every prayer that is sincerely made, even to a false God or to a very imperfectly conceived true God, is accepted by the true God, and that Christ saves many who do not think that they know him. I believe he does too. I believe Christ has saved many who didn't think they knew him, but deep down inside, They knew him. He was in there. Jesus is the way. Christianity is the way to know Jesus is the way. Christianity is not the way to get to heaven. Christianity is the way to know the way. And when you know the way through Christianity, you're a blessed child of God. But God can get his children to heaven who don't know that Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way. Jesus didn't say anything to Thomas about, Thomas, you knowing I'm the way is the way, or you believing I'm the way is the way. Jesus is the exclusive, only, complete, successful salvation that ever has been, that ever will be. There's one man. His name is Jesus. There's one way. He's God's Son, Jesus Christ. God bless you.